From an undisclosed location high in the Hollywood Hills, this is The Long Shot. It's a podcast, and you are listening to it right now. And in this episode, you're going to hear a lot about Pasta Primavera, Chowderfest 1988 through 1996, the golden age of chowder. And we're going to be talking about tray blankets, blankets for trays. And we got a very special guest. His name is Mr. Matt Besser on his record 66th Long Shot appearance. Now, give it up for your host of the Long Shot podcast, Mr. Sean Conroy.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day, good noon, good night, good dawn, good dusk, good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I am your host. My name is Sean Conroy. With me on the show today, the doyen of delight, Miss Amber Kenny, is here.
Hello.
The wizard of whooping cough, Joe Wagner, is here.
What? Interesting. I'm totally fine.
Jamie Flam is also
straight
with us today.
Up. Yep.
And our guest for today, the star of the greatest... Is it the greatest improv podcast or just the greatest podcast in the universe?
Oh, podcast.
the greatest podcast in the universe.
And what podcasts are people not improvising on, by the way? There's some written podcasts.
Oh, there's definitely
there.
Some written ones. Sure,
are there?
There's some narrative.
Yeah.
In fact, I heard an ad. I heard an ad for a drama.
Your book
podcast.
Didn't work. Now you're reading it out loud.
Matt Besser is here.
Welcome.
Who, by the way, I've lost count at this point, but I feel like Matt might be either tied or taking the lead for most guest appearances.
Really?
On the show.
I think he's number one.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Two appearances. Thanks for having me back.
But this will be the last time.
It does feel like it's been a while, though.
Yeah,
right?
I feel like that, too. Like,
well, that's because we don't have guests anymore.
Yeah, is that true?
A lot of times we don't. We have recently, but for a while there, it was just me and Amber. For the
Has it been more than 2 years?
No.
I don't know. When I found out my own podcast was 6 years, I was like old. I was like,
did you ever get a cake, by the way?
I did get a cake, but I feel like it was post-bitching about it.
Right, because they heard you bitching about
it.
Yeah,
that's the only time.
Because I was there for the 300th episode recording, and there was
no fanfare at all.
It was like
that
just
was
a regular.
And at 200, I made a stink of it. That was my 300th. And on 200, I made a stink of something. I'm like, oh, they're going to be prepared for 300.
Right. Of course, you gave them another 100 to
nothing.
Get ready.
I don't think
they spit in the cake or something, do you?
What the fuck, man? You think they did? And especially in it, not on it, the way you just put that.
So
all right, just put a slice. They actually made it so they could spit in the middle of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, suckers, I only eat the edges anyway.
Oh, they made a bundt cake and then just filled the middle up with spit and then a little cover across
there was
the
Have you guys ever seen, there's a very early video that was made by an artist.
You're talking about the one with the train that it looks like it's coming out of the screen?
No, and people ran out of the
theater.
Yeah. This was a visual artist in New York who made these videos, and in one of them he makes a fruitcake and he hawks up like loogie after loogie into the batter, and then you see him make this fruitcake. And he goes out during the holidays, and he was giving it to people on this, like, feeding
He sounds like a cool
like
guy.
Friends. It was they're really fucked up videos, but they're not real. They're
he
not
sounds
real.
Fun. He sounds like a kind of guy you want to hang out with.
So you don't think he really did it?
No, I don't think. There's one where he gets a friend's blood. He takes some blood out of his friend, and he puts it in the batter, and he feeds it to his dad.
What year was this? I'm picturing
1920s. Like this was
He's
like
just
late
describing
80s.
Jackass.
Yeah. No, it was a very early.
Gave it to his uncle.
It was like the shit that if you had a friend who had all these weird fucked up VHS tapes pre like YouTube or the internet, that would be one of those videos.
That's just reminding me of the show you used to do.
Uh-huh.
With the fucked up videos.
Oh, like the punk.
Literally called fucked up videos.
Yeah. That was a great show.
Yeah, we would get some weird people in the audience to that show. I had one unfortunate bestiality show movie.
Tape.
Very old, may I also say. So I don't know what happened to that pig. But
Well, you do know what happened to that pig.
But I started having this guy who would show up every time, and if we didn't play that, he would go, weren't you playing that? And eventually I found out he was in a band called Zoophilia. And like this was a whole thing of his, and he just liked talking about that, and that's why I was a fan of the show, just because we played that one fucking clip.
So he was really into animals, basically.
Yeah, I think I talked to him about that.
I feel like
he
wouldn't do that unless it was something you really felt passionately about, right?
Or if he thought it was just hilarious.
Right.
Well, Matt, we have a special guest today. Let's bring him out.
Oh, my gosh.
I could never resist
doing
that one.
All right. Well, this is a segment on the show that we like to call Checking In. So let's start today with Joe.
Whoa.
Joe, you missed last week.
No.
Two weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
But I was here last week.
Okay.
With Lisa Delirious. She's coming up. She's
right.
God, Sean, this is weird because it's going up first because it's a big one.
Oh,
I
boy.
Have a big one.
Oh, boy.
I got a preview.
And I don't know how to really, I'm not quite sure how to navigate it, how to talk about it, but I'm just going to put it out there and I want you guys to.
This is what the show's about. Yeah.
So today, I'm going to have sex.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Jamie, checking in.
Today, yeah, checking about something that's already happened.
So you're going, I mean, I always disapprove of check-ins about things that haven't happened yet. I always want it to be about something that already has
happened.
I know, happened.
But this is within hours.
Well, this is going to happen
within hours.
Like, okay.
So I think, I know, it's the day of.
And I'm going to be president for my check-in one day.
You're not sure how to navigate this.
Well, I'm just saying, is that a big deal? Not to most. But for me, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's been
actually
a long
to everyone
time.
Just to be able to declare it, even as a married man, I can't right now say
in a few hours I'm going to have
right.
sex.
I can't guarantee it at all. Right.
I'm opening up. I know some listeners don't mind this kind of talk.
Well, I think the interesting thing is the scheduled nature.
Yeah.
So how did that happen?
Okay.
Yeah, what time?
Absolutely true.
Is this someone you met on Twitter, first of all?
No, this is a Facebook friend.
So it is a social media connection.
It is a social media connection.
Yeah, you said it like Facebook's better than Twitter.
It's cleaner than Twitter.
Yeah,
Twitter's dirtier.
Okay, so what happened, Joe?
This is someone that I became Facebook friends with, maybe almost ten years ago.
So a decade has gone by.
It's been brewing.
You guys have wasted a lot of time not getting together.
No, well, I just you make friends on Facebook and you don't have any interaction with them other than like, oh, that's a nice picture or whatever. Congrats,
like,
whatever. Right.
Congrats on your boobs.
Political opinion.
Matt and I have different ideas on what to congratulate.
You said political opinion. Did you say boobs?
Boobs. Boobs.
I may have written both of those statements at some time.
Uh huh.
But
on brand.
The thing is that recently
both at the same time.
What we do share is nocturnal hours.
Okay.
And recently, I would say in the last year or so.
Hold on. Jamie, what's going on?
Are we okay technically?
Your voice sounds good. Okay. I did a thing. I turned a knob and it's even better.
Okay.
Great. So, go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Thank you.
I just saw Jamie with a very concerned look
right,
on his
now.
Face, fiddling with things. And I was like, oh, are we going to sit here for 2 hours? And then
that
Jamie's
going to
go, yeah, it didn't work.
That might be my
that
face.
That sounds like the last time I had sex.
I know. I was about to say.
On brand.
I would say within the past year, this person and I started communicating just late at night. Just
have you ever met this person in real life?
No, so that's the thing. I'm meeting this person for the first time today, and we're going to have sex.
Sounds healthy.
How did you
obviously already talked about this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You talked about it via Facebook message, correct?
So you have. You know,
is this a real person for
this
sure?
This is a real person for sure. I know you always bring this up. It is not a bot. It is not this. I'm not getting catfished. This person is real. And he just took a knee. This person is real. She brought it up. She said, so a few months ago.
Okay, so it's a she.
So a few months ago, thank you, Sean. A few months ago.
I mean, I didn't, you know,
she
I didn't want to prejudge.
Said, hey, I would like to go to L.A. I have some friends in L.A. I'd like to visit, so I might be in L.A. Okay. I don't push any of that stuff. Like, I wasn't...
So your response was basically...
I was like, hey,
whatever you want to do, that's fine. Do whatever you want.
And then ultimately, she was like, well, if I'm out there...
So she's the aggressor here. I did not use that word.
I'm just saying that she initiated. She brought it up.
She's going to bring it up later today.
And I have been completely copacetic with that and cooperative.
Does she listen to the show?
No.
You're okay. You're totally okay with somebody coming to LA to have sex with you.
I don't know if she does or not, but I haven't seen
it. I feel like if I'm fucking you, I'm a big fan and I'm listening to your show. No?
Well, not if you haven't fucked him yet. Like, I feel like if you did it before this, you might be like, okay, I got to listen to the show.
If I'm into someone enough to fuck them...
You're going to find every bit of them online.
I feel like I'm more of a... Unless she's visiting a lot of cities and fucking... Like,
she listens to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
No, to be fair, most podcasts come out of L.A., so...
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Well, L.A.
Wait, do you have a lot of friends in common? Or any? How did you become Facebook friends?
I think that she was a fan of Jen Kirkman. This is a long time ago. Like nine years ago. And I was on Facebook.
We get it. It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. So this has by the way, I don't know how old she is. But I know she's legal. But I don't know how old she is.
You don't know by how much.
I'm going to say when you guys started, she was 16. So you know she's at least.
So, you know, it's just been a while. I'm like a little nervous. You know, I want to, you know, there's been a lot of build up.
You should masturbate
several times.
Just to get the chi out. And yeah.
Otherwise, you just.
Just pop off.
Oh. And just be careful, because you don't want what happened in that great, great scene and There's Something About Mary, you know?
No, that...
Mm-hmm. Where that guy got up in the tree with the guitar.
Oh, yeah. That's not the one I was thinking of, but that was a great scene.
The guy who always picks another scene. I just remembered something. She works at an adult store, a bookstore, novelty store.
This is a real person.
I mean, the funny thing
is, glory hole girl. That's
the funny thing is, look, I completely appreciate anyone.
Her name is Gloria.
Sitting
Hole.
At this table. Oh my God! Come on, this is terrible.
That is a real name, by the way.
It's, Gloria Hole.
She says
of course.
It's Polish.
Hall. It's pronounced Hall. I know she's. I totally understand if anybody out there thinks this person is not real. I know she's real.
No, I think she's real.
I can't wait for next episode.
I know she's real.
Where's she coming in from?
An adult bookstore.
I'm going to say, I don't want to give too many
general area of the country.
Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
I could tell by adult bookstore.
Yeah. Pacific Northwest.
Interesting.
She's
most
a comedy
LA,
fan. She's a comedy fan. She works in an adult store. And she's bringing me... And she's, is that what they're called? Adult stores?
Sure.
And she's bringing me stuff from the store.
Like a butt plug.
Oh, and you guys are going to try them out together.
Yeah.
Do you have set plans or is it like bingo
I have
bongo?
Set, no, it's 5 o'clock, meeting at 5.
At the truck stop just out.
That's,
nice.
You know what?
You go
funny.
In the second stall.
All right. You know what, guys? I know it's funny to make this a... dirty, sleazy thing.
Sure.
But I got got us a nice...
She works in a bookstore. Right. It's kind of opening that door a little
bit. Well, as the listeners know, I describe this as sex positive. She's very sex positive.
Obviously.
Working in a store like that. But it's not a sleazy thing.
But I mean, you're not having
like
dinner
a truck
first.
Stop.
You're going right to her hotel room?
Yeah, I got a room at the Standard. In downtown. Mm. Yeah. So we'll have a little bit of the downtown experience. And
now they have a pool on the roof there, correct?
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Oh, you guys should fucking that pool.
I just tried to make it sound like I knew what I was talking about. Sure, the standard. I know that place. Yeah, they have a pool on the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Bunch of rooms.
So, and then, you
check-in
know.
Desk.
Checkout is noon tomorrow, so that'll be
all night bone session.
I got 2 5-hour energies that I bought.
So wait, are you literally just meeting at the hotel?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
Yes, I mentioned that earlier. I am a little nervous. I mean, I'm nervous that I'm meeting somebody for the first time. I think, you know,
have
I
you
think
ever
it's going to be
spoken
fine.
In
I don't,
person?
No, I don't even know what the sound of her voice
yeah.
is.
It's so nice to meet you. Let's back.
It's possible.
Oh, Gloria.
Guys in my town don't understand me for some reason. It's so different here from the Pacific Northwest. It's so much warmer.
Matt did point out something I think that is thoughtful, which is that we do have a connection. She knows that I get her. Oh.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
You get her in what way?
No, because it was like, that's, look, the way these things happen is that people are up late at night. And they are in,
the way these things happen, are, isn't this the first time you're doing this?
No, but I'm just talking about social media connections between people between people that are in some kind of distress or pain or angst, hurt, whatever it is. And then there's somebody out there that's like, hey, it's okay.
I'm just sitting here in the adult bookstore at 4 a.m. and there's a guy in the corner checking out the teen section. What are you up to?
This is good. If she does sound like this, then I'll be used to it. That's true. By 5 today.
All right. Well, Joe, we expect a full report whenever you next come to a recording of the show.
Okay. I want to do a good job. I want to be of service.
Break a leg.
I just want
so much more interesting than my life, by the way.
Well,
this is serious.
Look, this is a one time. I have sex maybe once, twice a year. Three times if I'm really lucky. It's like
it's like a song lyric.
I don't pursue it. I don't really.
You let it come to you.
That's right.
You allow the universe to take its course.
Literally, that's what happened this time.
You're sex positive, but you're not sex aggressive.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes.
Did he mean
now,
any of
this?
You're glowing.
Is if this any long shot listeners
so
are coming
sweet.
To
I
LA.
Thought he said
is
that
this
so
a plan to, like, is it like, is it the classic, who wrote the book?
Who wrote the Book of Blow?
Erica Jong. Is this a zipless
the joy
fuck
of sex?
Where you're just going to do it and that's it? And then we go our separate ways and we go back to saying, hey, I liked your political stance on Facebook.
Congrats on the boobs.
Congrats on the boobs. Or is this a thing where you're like, if it goes well,
hey, I really wanted to keep fucking you, but I heard your podcast.
Dude, whoever the hell those idiots were trying to do my voice really fucked me up.
Are those your friends? Yes. Yeah, Sean.
There's a possibility of continuation.
It is. No. The former.
You're just done after this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a special occasion thing. Not really. I mean, it's like... That's
why
how,
close that door, though?
That's how I always approach the last few physical trysts that I've had.
Right.
It's a one-and-done thing.
Right.
It's just a, you know...
You're a love-them-and-leave-them kind
of
guy.
No. It's just more of like... That's what I have... That's what I think I'm clear about. And then... And I think that's okay.
You need to be alone right now.
No. Not that I need to be alone. It's that... There isn't necessarily, I have no interest in exploring anything.
Yeah, but
deeper.
You might some years in the future direct a porn film and do a tour with it where you're doing autograph signings, meet and greets. And you end up at that adult bookstore.
Oh, this is awkward. I remember
Gloria.
You.
It's your Eiffel Tower.
I love that you actually gave my career another act. When at 55, I decide to enter the porn biz. I think it's fine. I'm totally clear about.
You're done. And done.
Yeah. It's just a story. It's just a, you had a fun time in LA. with that guy from on.
I think you're being very confident. You don't know what's going to happen.
Wait, there is another check-in, that's true. That's look. There is the unknown.
Next check in, it's like I'm engaged and I'm moving to Portland.
Come on, stop joking.
No, Seattle. It's That's it. That's it.
Well, I hope it feels really good.
So you're gonna John.
Thank you,
you're gonna John Calipari.
It feels really good.
Oh, and then
No. It's like going out to go do something fun. Like you go to Disneyland. It's like that. It's like one time.
It's Pussyland.
Well,
sorry.
Disneyland. I wrote a sketch name called Disneyland.
Shocker.
That could be the name of the movie.
I put it in a Mad TV submission. Didn't get it. Wonder why. But it's just a one-time thing. And I think, I'm looking forward to it. But we'll see. Yeah, the unknown. I don't know.
Joe, congratulations. Best of luck. Mm-hmm. May you come to no physical harm.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And for I know some people are disgusted by me talking about this stuff. Some people out there are. But some other people are turned on by me talking about this.
Turned on?
And imagining me having sex.
Disagree.
Some listeners right now are.
There's somebody out there jacking off right now to Joe's sexual proclivities. All right, Amber, checking in.
Yeah, I am. I'll keep it. Tight and right. I know we're supposed to do that.
Tight and right.
I've been experiencing quite a bit of anxiety lately. And what I've realized about myself is I'm an anxiety sleeper. Like some people can't
sleep. You just take a nap.
I just want to sleep 24/7. I just want to escape everything. So,
does any of your anxiety have to do with the fact that within a short time, LA might be destroyed by a nuclear weapon?
It's not helping.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know.
I've had a couple 12-hour sleep days. Yeah,
just wait till tomorrow, baby. You're gonna sleep all day and all night.
Well,
you're gonna be so worn out. You're gonna be like.
Are you saying she's gonna drug me in any way?
It's possible. And I say she in quotes.
Oh my god.
So what's going on?
That's it.
Just that you sleep because you're anxious.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
There's more than that.
There really isn't. Jamie?
Are you okay with that?
Checking in.
That happens.
I went to a party last night.
Hey,
speaking of Gloria. The party was
nobody
on Gloria
was speaking Street. Of Gloria.
We were just speaking of Gloria. Hold
on. I know, but they weren't. That's not a real person.
Okay, so Gloria. There's a Gloria Street in the valley where the party was. One block over, Gaynor Street. Gaynor.
Oh, Gloria Gaynor.
That's your checking in?
It wasn't going to be, but I remembered. My memory was jogged by
the... Did you park between them or something?
No, just on Gloria.
I love when Jamie has some kind of epiphany that is so boring, but to him it's incredibly significant. Like,
so I looked
one block over, Gaynor Street.
Well, she's a singer, right?
I Will Survive is a big one.
That's a big classic
disco hit.
All right, so what else?
Do you think it's intentional?
Not intentional. I looked it up.
You saw the names of two streets. What else, Jamie?
But I looked it up on...
It was a lady.
Gloria Gaynor herself on her official Facebook page.
Okay.
Has a picture of it with, you know, drawn in to show. Illustrate that. That's the only record I could find of that. The fact that
street's out there?
That there's two streets in a row.
She has that on her website?
Can you imagine if you wanted to go Matt Street and then Besser Street?
And right. Jamie is meeting Gloria Gaynor at the Standard this afternoon at 4 to 5.
A Sean
Matt
and then a Conway?
Weird.
She has a
Matthew,
beautiful
no.
voice. She
and Amber and then a Kenny voice. Street.
So, Jamie, what
I
else?
I still don't understand. That was on her website?
She had, like, one of her posts was, like, a picture of the map to show. She was giving it in the context of the Jacksons lived in that neighborhood.
Oh.
That was a fun fact. Actually, there was like five facts that she was like, true and false about Gloria Gaynor, and then five things, and then she mentioned...
Can we stop talking about Gloria Gaynor's fucking Facebook page?
Fan page.
Jesus.
But I think she runs it herself.
On Facebook, though.
On Facebook.
Yeah. What else, Jamie?
So, other than that, Tuesday, I was invited to the Improv for a Bud Friedman, who started the improv, there a book came out about him, like an oral history of
is
the improv.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Was he there?
He was. He had a stroke a couple years ago, and it was apparent.
He once razzed me.
In what way?
I was in some comedy contest in Chicago, and he was introducing all the acts. And when I first started, like, my hair was all crazy, and I had a goatee and a wacky jacket. I just looked wacky. And
this was how long ago? 25 years ago?
This is when I very first started. So I was, you know, 21, probably literally. He introduced me as... look at this guy. He was something like this. He was conceived at Woodstock in the mud while his parents were on acid. It was something about being my parents fucking in the mud and they were on acid when they conceived me. So let's welcome up Matthew Besser. Yeah.
And you won?
No. Why is that the end of the story?
Why not?
I'll do
and
you
I
know.
Won. Is that what has to make the story?
Eat
good?
Shit, but
none of
Friedman.
That matters. Did you win or lose?
I'm just curious to know how it panned out.
Jamie's very focused on comedy contests.
No, I guess it's kind of New York historic because I didn't win, Jamie.
But also that illustrates that to all of our young comic listeners, not to put too much stock in a contest. Great careers can be made. Beyond the stand-up
I love it when you encourage the young listeners.
That's right.
You know what?
Somebody's jacking off.
I'm
guys, I'm
gonna be honest
right now.
I did win that contest.
You did.
I just didn't want to brag here on the show, but I fucking won. That's the only reason I'm here
today.
That's
why you brought it up, because you really wanted us to get it out of you.
Yeah.
The contest.
Yeah. This is my humble brag. And so, if any of you out there have not won a contest, there's no way you're making it.
What'd you win? Did you win anything?
I got to blow Bud.
Oh, that's what gave him the stroke. So what happened, Jamie? So you went to the improv, book signing.
Book, like
reading?
Launch party? Or book release
Yeah, book
party.
Launch party.
So he's not the author of the book, he's just featured in the book.
I think he, yeah. It was an oral history, so lots of people were interviewed over the last
oral
couple
history,
years.
Oh, I'm in it then.
Are you in it?
Because he gave him a blowjob.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, chapter one is called Chicago, 1988.
The best blowjob ever got.
Well, what a wacky blowjob.
God bless you, bud.
Like a blowjob on acid in the mud.
So
it's just making me think of a scene we did recently where you and I talked for like 7 minutes about how we were going to blow each other.
That's right. Extremely erotic.
Was this recorded?
Sex positive.
It was on ASCAT. It was just like so
That's
funny.
Right.
Me and Besser were sitting there doing this whole scene about like, no, I want you to do it like you're eating corn on the cob.
Try that
anyway,
tonight.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. The old corn on the cob.
Go ahead, Jamie. What else?
I didn't corn think too cob. Much about the event before I went. I walked in. I was like, oh, this is a thing. Like, you have to check in. It's a guest list. It's a.
There were a lot of huge comedians there. I saw Leno went up and... A bunch of other
Larry David.
From Larry David, right.
Apatow. What's his name?
Chris Rock?
No.
Louis C.K.?
No.
Steve Martin?
Jay
Moore.
No.
Allen?
No.
Mel Brooks?
The unknown comic.
Tim Allen?
Nope. This is a fun game, though.
Drew Carey?
Drew Carey didn't make it.
Wow.
Richard Lewis?
This is getting sadder and sadder. Richard Lewis was there.
Anyway, I am...
Dennis Miller.
I was... taking it all in, and then there was an actual tribute, so we went to the showroom, and people were going up, and just Bud was sitting in the middle.
Wait, where did it start?
Oh, it was just the whole club was just like a party reception.
Oh, so as soon as you came in, there was a bunch of people there.
Yeah, just like over looking around.
And then they were like, okay, folks, the show is starting, everybody inside.
Yeah, were you there? That's exactly what they said.
Yeah, no, I know how these things work.
Minimum, you know it's party.
And, but everyone
it's called
started
show
going
business,
up.
Folks. This is a business. Everybody in.
So... everyone was paying tribute to him. They're like, you know, you had a vision for this place 50 years ago, and, you know, you made my career, and you gave me my big break, and it was just very inspirational.
Right.
And I was thinking, like, if I ever had my own place, that...
You'd like a tribute to you.
I would like a
tribute. The one-year anniversary.
Yeah. At the one-year anniversary.
Okay.
Jamie's going to do it after a year. And folks, there's an oral history book coming out about me, so please come down to my place.
But the timing of that with another meeting the next day for another project, I can't talk about.
Oh, fuck you.
But you're still right. So you're right there where you're starting something, and you were seeing like, the culmination of something.
Yeah, not about me, but I mean...
But a little bit. But that's a nice...
But Matt's here.
Right.
I mean, you must look out upon the...
See empire you've created.
I have zero idea what he's getting to. Do you know what he's about to say?
He doesn't even know what he's getting
I'm not going to get to anything. I'm done.
No, I want to hear this. I must what? I look out on a sea?
A sea of
you've
a...
Created, so you've created something
with a vision that you had.
Okay.
And hundreds, thousands of people have been part of it.
You've
Some
changed
of them
lives.
Luminaries. You've changed lives.
Luminaries.
How does that feel?
Yeah. That's why we brought you here today, Matt, to do an oral history.
Can you do a quick oral history of...
And by the way, Jay Leno is in the hallway.
I've got to be out. I got to be out of here by 5.
No, you got to get out of here by 4.
I'll be fine.
Oh, am I answering a question? Yes. Okay. I look at the luminaries.
You look at them. Yes, I watch them on TV.
Yeah, I say. How come never an audition for your fucking show? 3 seasons, huh?
Congrats.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah.
Where's my cake?
That's so true. You're welcome.
You're welcome. What's that?
Has Gloria Gaynor ever been to a UCB?
Oh, no. No.
I'm serious.
Oh, no. No, you're not.
I am now. When I started, I wasn't, but now I'm curious.
And I have an answer, but I'm not going to tell you because I know you didn't start being serious.
So anything else, Jamie? Anything else with your checking in besides your
weird
Gloria Gaynor obsession?
It's not an obsession. It was just
you
so
You brought
relevant.
It up like 11 times in
cool
the last
thing that
10
happened.
Minutes.
I bookended cool my thing. Checking in with it.
It was not a cool thing.
It was a
thing.
Cool thing when you
We
see,
have different definitions of
when
cool
When you see
thing.
Little connections in life like, oh, look at that.
Are you positive it's coincidence, though?
Yeah.
Why are you positive?
Well, it seems like Gloria on her fan page would have said like she was saying that was a
I thought you said her fan page was run by her fans.
I think she's running it. It was her. She posted
But her
that.
Page just pointed out. Didn't say one way or the other.
I feel like it did say that, but
okay.
Oh my god.
But like,
look at this
like
coincidence.
There, like the city planners would have had like a Gloria Gaynor Day or something like to celebrate. Look, we did that, right?
I don't know.
And in my quick Safari search on my phone, I wasn't able to find anything but that post from Gloria.
Hmm.
How was the party?
The party?
It was thanks for asking. It was a paella party. I like paella a lot, and so I was pleased at the abundance of paella. If for our listeners that don't know what paella is, or if any of you guys at the table don't, it's a big arroz rice and seafood. There's chicken.
Rose rice.
Arroz.
Here's the funny thing. When I was into Spain,
we'll see.
It's not funny. But in Spain, you
already we don't even need to look.
The paella you'd think is like the best.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's from.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to like 5 different places and had paella. I think that there's a recipe, maybe even a packet or a mix that they send out to all the restaurants. So it's like always the same, but it's not good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I didn't find a place that had an original like recipe that was just like transcendental like experience. It was just always the same. Flavor is a little bit too salty, a little bit.
Yes, he's here in my restaurant right now. I know. He won't shut up about the paella.
Give him the salty version.
He's on to us.
I didn't even
know.
You
still have some of the mix I made,
Jamie,
left, right?
He won't order anything else.
I can totally back you up on the too salty paella thing, because that's happened to me a few times.
Thank you for getting Jamie's back on.
No, I just want people to know that that's not like a specific Jamie thing. Like, I love paella too. I've had it a few times, and usually it's a little too salty.
Oh my
God. Huh. Getting to the real issues here on the long
Political.
Shots. All right. What, Jamie? What?
I just want to hear more from Amber. No? Okay.
All right. Matt, checking in. What's going on? What's happening in your life?
My life is not nearly as interesting. I'm not going to parties. I don't have a guaranteed fuck tonight. I definitely never can't sleep for 12 hours.
No, I know. I felt.
You have
felt,
a child. You
I even
never
felt bad saying that. I'm sorry I said that because I know that's what? Not that can never be your life again.
Yeah, never.
Sorry.
Can you believe it? My life is my child now, and it does affect so many things. And one thing I try to do is recognize the difference between a cute story and a funny story when it comes to my daughter, because people don't want to hear cute stories. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be aware of those. I guess I remember the times when I didn't have a kid, and like specifically like on a plane, when you think, why can't these parents get control of their child right now that's kicking the back of my seat all the way to New York? And now that I have a kid, I'm proud to say she's always been good on planes, but now we're going to restaurants, and it can be, it's a challenge. Like, it came to the point the other day where I was like to Danielle, I was like, I think maybe we have to leave, because it's gotten to the point where I can't control her, and we're starting to affect other people.
How old is she now?
4.
Mm-hmm.
And she, no doubt, is very charming and funny. And she is very social, like the opposite of me. Like, she'll introduce me and Danielle to people in restaurants all the time. This is my dad. His name is Matt. This is Danielle Schneider. And then it becomes like, I probably should have done that myself. Like, we'll be at a common table at Jones on 3rd or something. And the two kids are talking. You probably should say, "Hey, my name's Matt," but then you don't. And then she introduces me, and it's kind of embarrassing. Like, she has better social skills than I do. But then, at that breakfast, I'm thinking about it. I'd say everyone around us loved Sydney. Like, she was entertaining. But then when I'm thinking of when we went to this Japanese restaurant the other night, she was up in people's table, like right up to their food when they're eating. And it's like, Sydney, not while they're eating. And some people are charmed, but then some people are just like,
can you get this kid away from me? Yeah.
And I can see both sides. Like, on one side, don't be mad. If I do something about it right away, don't be mad at the kid right away. Like, give me a 3 count,
right?
You know, and realize she's 4 and she's just being charming. She didn't grab your food or anything like that. You know what I mean?
That's what I do. Whenever somebody's kid is near me, I just go.
No, wait. So it would be
okay.
One,
that's 3.
Two,
get out of here, kid.
And then fuck you, kid, to the kid. Right?
I'm totally for that. If we had just allowed Sydney just to be
in
their
food. But there are people that do that, and that I think is unfortunate, is when the parents just go, "Oh, my kid's adorable. Let them do whatever they want." It's like, that's not cool.
No, you know? Yeah, you can't. And also, it depends what time of day it is, where we're at. Like, breakfast place at 6 a.m. is mostly people like us. Mm-hmm. So if it's someone that's not and they're irritated, I want to go, "We're here at 6 a.m. to be away from you people, so give us a fucking break. Families get to eat somewhere," you know, at that point. But if you're at a restaurant, it's Friday night, and people are on a date, or then it's like, I always order, and I'm like, "Sydney, you want to go walk up and down the street?" And like, I get her out of the restaurant.
And wear her out a little bit.
Yeah, or she can't sit still, as we all couldn't, I guess. I do remember my dad getting mad about playing with water or playing with silverware, and it drove him crazy. I have that distinct memory.
I think about friends who are performers and who are parents, and I think about when those moments happen, and if she's being loud or whatever, and people turn and people's attention start to turn on you, like, how do you immediately feel? Considering that, like, you do things on stage or you perform and you have people's attention on you, but when it's in a public kind of place like that and it's suddenly like people are turning and be like, "Oh, whose kid is that?"
I think you
and
can
like,
tell right away whether they're going to be charmed or not.
Right.
Like, if it's a diner, I'm all for her wandering up to someone if they like it or not. And if they don't, I can tell and I get them off her, but I'm also don't feel like it's crazy that she's just saying hello. She's not grabbing pancakes, she's just going, "Hello, how are you?" And some people are like, "Oh, hi, how are you?" And some people just look at her like she's a fucking just escaped from prison. And those people I want to fucking kill. If she hasn't done anything, it's just like, she just said hello to you. Fucking calm down.
So it's not like tantrums or anything.
Oh, no. That's the good part. She doesn't do that. She's never done that on a plane. Right. And if she did, I would carry her out of the restaurant immediately.
Right.
Like, I don't understand that when we have to watch the whole process of calming the kid down. Like, carry them out of here, unless it's a kid place, I guess.
Yeah. You always feel terrible for a parent when the kid is having a tantrum and you're seeing them trying to figure out where the line is between getting angry, but not in front of, in front of people.
It's weird. It depends. Like if they're autistic, like all bets are off. Like that's when it's like, oh man, those parents really have to deal with something there. Especially on a plane. I've seen that too, where it's like, oh, that kid obviously can't help that, what he's doing right now. But then other times you see, and you can tell when you hear the kids talk, it feels like, oh, they're just fucking spoiled.
Right.
That's where I really checked out with it. Yeah. Is not that I want to kill anybody because I'm a pacifist and I'm sex positive, but but when you see the parents and they're like, look, my kid owns the world. Like, who cares? They should be able to do whatever they want.
When the kids are like, daddy, I want to play with my video. When that's the line of dialogue, there's no feeling sorry for it. It's like, hey, get that kid in his seat and shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there are a lot of people like that, but I never blame parents when kids are acting up because
they trained them.
Well, no. I guess I mean I blame those parents, but I'm saying I don't. If a kid is just being a kid, I'm not like, ah, fuck these people. If they are clearly making an effort to get that kid to understand what's okay and what's not okay.
That movie or TV series was on like 2 years ago. Was it called The Slap?
I think.
I only watched the first episode, but
it was very controversial. I think people were like,
I did feel for the scenario. It was one kid had a bat. It was like at a party where adults and
kids
were there.
In the backyard. Yeah.
And one kid swinging around, I think it was like a wooden bat. And I feel like, I definitely, if the parent didn't do anything in that scenario, I believe the parent and someone's gonna go, that's not what happened. In my memory, the parent of the kid with the bat didn't do anything. And so some other parent took it on himself because it's like, he's about to hit my kid in the head with the bat. So he goes over and grabs him and grabs the bat. But then I guess he slaps him because the kid didn't calm down. And that's obviously where he crossed the line. But I could see grabbing the bat and grabbing another kid, grabbing his shoulder and saying, you need to calm down because you're about to hurt someone, and being mad at the other parent if they didn't do that. I could see that.
Right.
If my own kid's in danger, yeah, definitely.
Did you see that video that was online of the
kid running? Is this the spit fruitcake thing?
No. No. It's really short. It's like at a party, backyard party, and this little kid comes running, and he's smiling, he's running, and his mom goes, what's in your hand? And he just goes, a knife, and you see he's holding a knife, and then he just keeps running, and she immediately goes, no, and then runs after, and the video stops.
I did see it. I didn't know what he had.
He had a knife. He had like a little pocket knife, and she immediately just yells, no.
And he's so gleeful too.
Yeah, that's what makes it funny. He said he's smiling when he says it.
I'm just picturing Joe Googling child at a party videos.
You know what? It was everywhere.
Late
night.
It was
disturbing.
No, I had somebody on a plane once, because a plane is really hard because you're just shut in with these people for as long as it takes for the flight.
And everyone's miserable, including
the kid. It's the worst. Yeah, of course. But this woman behind me had a kid and he kept kicking my seat. And she kept saying, like, honey, stop it. You can't do that. Like, she was being really insistent, and he would stop for 15 minutes and then all of a sudden. And I had very mixed feelings. Like, I was like, I know she's really trying. Do I turn around and scare the shit out of the kid? Like, what do I do? So anyway, we get to the end of the flight and she goes, I am so sorry. And I was like, look, I have 10 nieces and nephews, so I know that it's really difficult sometimes. And she was like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Like,
if you hear her trying,
yeah,
then you got to side with him.
Right. This was after I smacked the kid, though.
Yeah.
Just turned around and reached over the slap.
And that's why she said, thank you so much.
Right. Because he stopped after that. Now he knows.
Your daughter's 4, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Are you
I always think about this with parents and kids growing up, especially with early developmental stuff. Like, do you try to figure out like what's coming next as far as personality and or behavior, as far as like what's 5, 6, 7 gonna be like?
No, I'm working on too much right now.
Right.
I mean, we've got.
But do you have like an idea of like what 4 is supposed to be like? I mean, because they
yeah, you talk to the doctor actually,
right?
Like you, the pediatrician, if you have a good one, right? Yes, will say this is what you should start to like. She's right. really competitive right now, and everything has to be a game to win or lose. Like even if it's just not a game, not a game at all. I touch the pillow first, I win, or I'm watching TV, I win.
Where do you think she gets that from?
I know, dude, and I've tried to, I definitely, it has to be from observation.
I mean, how would she come up with some system like that?
Danielle points it out all the time. I'll say something, she goes, I wonder where she gets that from. I'm like, aren't I hiding it from her now? Does she see this?
You're like keeping track of every time you've lost and she's won. You have a little notepad.
Oh, believe me, anytime, like Danielle wants to teach her the lessons of losing. Like anytime I'm playing with her, I'm letting her win.
Right.
Like I don't want to go through the grief of making her lose because she has a meltdown.
Oh, she does?
Oh, yeah. She's playing a video game this morning of a bunny hopping on rocks. Bunny has to wait for a log, jumps on a log, hops some more rocks.
That's my favorite game.
It's pretty intense. She got really frustrated. I'm not any good. Or I'm not winning. I'm not winning. I'm like, you'll get better.
You will win someday. Someday you will win.
I feel like we could have your daughter on the podcast.
She's quite a personality.
Into a microphone, I'm not winning. She'd fit right in.
All right. Well, this feels like a good place to take a break. So let's do that. And we'll be back in a moment with some more of The Long Shot.
Hey, this is Ian Abramson, and you are listening to The Long Shot Podcast.
We are back. You're listening to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. Joe Wagner loading up on 5-hour energy drinks right now.
I'm an old man.
Trying to get that dicky ready.
Okay, Sean.
I would think that stuff could do negative things to your dick.
Right.
Chemicals? No.
Jazz it up too much.
It is pineapple passion fruit.
Well, there you go.
Pineapple does.
Mm-hmm. You know what passion fruit does.
You know what pineapple does when you stick your dick in it.
It burns. All right. Well, it's time for a segment on the show that we like to call Parting Shots. So let's start today with Matt.
Okay. Oh. Well, I asked to come on the show not only because I enjoy it, but I am plugging a new project that's coming out on Stitcher Premium. Probably after the show comes out, or before the show comes out, September 27th.
Yeah.
It's called Stolen Idea. It's at Stitcher Premium/Stolen. And it's about, I've always been obsessed with stolen ideas in both comedy and music. And it's about a musician who steals an idea and a comedian that I play who has his shtick, his bit stolen by a younger comic who's doing better with it. And the two stories merge, and the ghost of Alexander Graham Bell becomes involved at one point because he stole his idea for the phone. I don't know if you guys know that.
He and, stole it from Elijah Verizon Gray. Wireless, right?
Oh, you.
From David Phone.
David. Is that true?
It's true.
Jamie. So my serious project that I've been working on. Look around. But yeah, it's a musical. It's punk music. My friend Bobby Matthews and I worked on it for a while with, who else is in it? Scott Aukerman, John Gimberling, Mike Cassidy, Mike Still, Paul Rust plays the young comic who steals my idea. Danielle's in it, my wife. What else to say? Yeah, please listen to it.
And it's on Stitcher Premium, how do you get that?
I think you can listen to Stitcher for free for a month. If you use promo code, I think improv is my show's code, or maybe stolen. But go to Stitcher Premium/stolen. It's about stolen ideas.
Did this? Is there a specific thing that happened to you that you're referencing where you felt like somebody stole your shit?
Not the story itself. I have had my stuff stolen. Like the fat Jew, that Twitter account.
That's
guy,
what I was thinking of, because you were quoted about mine, that yeah. guy.
But that's not what inspired it. I had a...
But that was after you started working on this, I would guess, right?
I can't remember now.
I feel like the fat Jew was within the last 3 or 4 years. And if you've been working on this for 5 years, it was yeah, after that.
I can't remember. But I knew he stole it before it became a controversy. Like, I knew he stole it when he stole it.
Right.
So I can't remember that. And I have had bigger ideas that actually made me mad stolen earlier in my career. One I know... For
Modern
fact.
Family was your idea, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mine was called a Contemporary Family. And it was about seven different families. And they just condensed my idea and changed the word. That was fucked up.
No, you really.
I had one to come about a bar where all these guys would gather and everybody knew each other and knew each other's names.
And it was called L'Chaim?
Yeah. It was all Jews. People thought that was off putting.
Where everybody knows your name.
Shlomo.
Shlomo.
I went to camp with a kid named Shlomo. No, Shlomi. Jewish camp.
God damn it.
Slow me.
I wanted to be his friend. How do you not want to be friends with a kid named Shlomi?
Because he knew why you wanted to be friends with him.
Yeah.
Can you give a specific example of something that you felt like somebody stole from you, or do you not want to do that?
The biggest one, I'd be opening up a big can of worms. It was like it was a group. And the reason because sometimes you think it, but you're not positive.
Right.
Like you're like, it's like, could it be parallel development? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I know it when I see it. I feel mm-hmm. like you guys probably feel the same way. Like certain comics we know that have been accused, and when I hear the jokes, I'm like, I don't know about that. That doesn't, right. It seems like anyone could have thought about that. Where other ones, you're like, come on, that was definitely obviously stolen. I don't know. That's the way I feel.
I have a joke that I've done for years and years. I mean, I still do it once in a while, and it's probably been in my act for 17 years now or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I did it on TV a long time ago. And another comic had a similar joke, very similar, like same, it's like a verb, it's like a wordplay joke mm-hmm. almost. And I did not feel like he stole it from me, but I wanted him to know that I had done a very similar joke on TV and was right. continuing to do so. So just so he knew, so that people wouldn't say to him, so I said, you know, this is the joke that I do, and it's similar to yours, and I've done it on TV, so I just wanted you to know that. And he thought I was accusing him of stealing the joke, and I was like, that's not what I'm saying, you know?
Well, on the flip side, I had a guy call my we had the same manager, and he talked to my manager, and he said, I hear that Besser is doing this bit, which I won't say what it is, because it would just say who this guy is, because I've buried the hatchet with him, but... He was like, that's the name of my bit. And let's say it's this. It's not, but I used to do the Nazi Pope as a character. And let's say he had something called the fascist leader, or like we had very similar kind of titles to our bit, but past basically what the title of it was, the bits radically diverged. But it was the same thing. And he made a bigger deal out of what he called his bit than I do. Like, me changing the title didn't affect the comedy of my bit, and I didn't really care. Right. But to him...
1940s German religious leader of the Catholic Church. Who cares?
But to him, it was a big part of the bit. So when he called me, when we talked on the phone, I was like, dude, I've never seen you perform live. I know, and he's legitimate. Big name stand up, but I'd never been in a show with him. I'd never watched him on TV. I'd never seen this bit. And when he told me about it, and I looked it up, I'm like, oh yeah, that is the same title of the bit. And so I told him, I'll stop calling mine that same thing and I'll call it this instead. And he goes, no, I want you to stop doing it, the whole bit. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't own.
Right.
This idea.
This whole, it wasn't even an idea. This launching point toward, because we had completely different ideas of what we were talking about. It was literally like the title itself of the character. And I'm like, I'm definitely, because I've been working a long time on this bit. And then I started getting defensive, like, and I told him, you may be more well known for what you're doing with the bit. Like in my, here's the example I use in my, in Stolen Idea, and this isn't it, but I do a Neil Young impression I have for years. And before Jimmy Fallon became known for it. And when I saw him do it, whenever I first saw him do it, I think it's like right when his show launched, I was like, motherfucker, now I can't do it because it'll always get compared because he's nailing
people will think, oh, Besser saw Jimmy Fallon do that. Yeah. And so now he's doing it too.
Yeah. So it kind of ruined it. And that becomes a plot point in my musical. But it's like that. It's like, fuck, man. But that's like, you can't own Neil Young.
Right.
You know, you can't own the fascist, you know, Cardinal
Ratzinger. Where would impressionists be without Jack Nicholson? You know,
but usually someone does kind of nail something and then you stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I respect that too. I get that. It's like, man, he beat me to it. I don't know what to
say. I think a good thing for a lot of people in comedy has been Twitter, as far as being less precious.
Twitter is
about
dirty.
Material.
It's dirty. It's filthy.
Because the amazing thing is when you can now see 30 people, 50, 80, 100 all make the same joke within 3 minutes of something that just hit the news cycle or whatever. You know, it's like,
that would be crazy. Well, like the guy who's
the
suing,
same joke, basically.
The guy who's suing Conan O'Brien's writing staff right now. You guys know about that?
Yes. No.
And his three jokes are all topical jokes. Right. And I think to accuse anyone of any topical joke,
that happens in the
it's
news.
Like, you don't think a fucking writer's room, they're not spinning 100 different variations of that joke and they settle on something that's similar to your fucking
And they're not
joke?
Even word for word, the jokes that this guy is suing about. Like, they're just, this happened in the news and somebody made a joke about it, but I had already made a joke a minute or two before, so they stole my joke.
On Twitter, you can see that happen in real time. Mm-hmm. Like, people make the same joke. It's just where you go to the first three jokes.
That's assuming you're watching Twitter in real time, which is saying something about your life and
patterns.
You know, yeah.
But like the joke the fat Jew stole from me, it wasn't topical.
Right.
And it was just a literal cut and paste, and even try to reword it a little bit.
And didn't give you any credit.
No, nobody. But that's when you're kind of infuriated, like, motherfucker.
But he was just a content aggregator.
You're defending him, yes. That's all he was. I actually didn't care, like, at the time. I just thought it was odd. I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
But then it became something.
Well, he was doing it to everybody.
Yeah. The one thing that I got stolen that was a big deal, someone from that group eventually admitted it to me. So that's why I knew it for sure. And he admitted it crying on the phone to me and told me about the discussion that was had of...
It was Jimmy Fallon.
So
it's the one time he's ever cried.
And there's other things where you're like, that seems so similar, but you don't, can't prove it.
Right. Close, but you're not sure.
Yeah. I swear that I had one stand-up joke from when I was like going up in like the late 90s that I swear I saw on an episode of Dharma and Greg. And it was, because it was
what was the joke?
I know, right? It was a terrible joke act out that I used to do about a Vietnamese hooker doing stand-up.
Named Dharma.
A Vietnamese hooker doing stand-up, and I would do the Vietnamese hooker voice from Full Metal Jacket doing the Seinfeld bit about when you do the laundry, where does the other sock go? And I on Dharma.
So you were stealing in your own joke from two other places.
From Seinfeld and Full Metal Jacket.
So this was just karma, Greg.
And then I see this episode of Dharma and Greg, and he's like, hey, how's the community center going? And she's like, oh, it's great. I'm teaching them stand-up. And this one Cambodian woman is like, she's doing where does the sock go? Where's the other sock go? And I was like, that's too weird. That's got to be some Dharma and Greg writer saw me at a
show somewhere and just...
All right, Dom and Greg writers, we got to come up with a joke for this section of the script.
Like I had it.
Get me Wagner's stand-up tape.
Hit the open mics.
I think it happened.
But that sock thing is pretty universal.
No, no, but I mean to specifically Seinfeld
we all know it.
Joke and it was an Asian woman.
Yeah, those when the specifics were like, that's
yeah,
too
when it's
much.
The specifics, and that I think that happens with a lot of sitcom writers. Like you know,
I know, and I'm not going
to
say any details, but I know
they go to
a story that my friend told me that his friend told him that was this big sitcom writer in town. I know it became an episode. Of this famous sitcom, like and right, that and right. That person had no access to the story otherwise, if that makes sense.
Right,
like
right.
They had to, they couldn't have had the experience. They basically stole someone's great story.
Right,
so it'd be like going to a moth, you know, whatever, any place that has good stories and going, I'm just going to use that story.
Right.
Yeah, completely. I can't imagine doing that. Like, I just, to me, that's it's so...
Ridiculous. You thought you were about to be fired or something.
So unethical, desperate. You know? All right, parting shots. Joe.
Okay. It's nothing sexual. I want to talk about the LA...
This is when I start jacking off.
I want to talk about the LA Metro Transit system, which I take.
It's a little sexual.
The train goes
I
in the
I just
want
to say, I'll keep it short, but there is right now an effort to get the Olympics here in 2020.
I think it's done.
No, it's done.
It's over.
It's happening.
It's happening.
2024.
They are coming here to LA.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know that. Because
speaking against it, too late.
No.
Well, start training? Planning your bus schedule now.
I do have a recommendation. I do have a recommendation. And I know they are doing a lot of improvements to the transit system. But it's very hard if you're a tourist foreigner to figure out the system to buy a tap card and to put value on that and to use it. It's every time I go up there. There are people who are clearly having a hard time.
I don't do it very much. When I do it, I'm confused every time.
Yeah,
I sit there in front of that machine going, what's happening?
Yeah,
what am I supposed
so
to do?
It's so not user-friendly.
And you're in a rush sometimes, so you feel panic like,
right.
I can't figure this out. What's going on?
And there's people
on?
Behind
there's
you.
People behind you, and it's like, and if you're in a group, tourists usually can be in big groups. There's like, they're trying to figure it out for 7-8 different people, and it's not easy. And if this city wants to have the Olympics and be a world-class city like that, you have to go back to some of those things and figure out how to design them better.
I fucking hate that when shit isn't user-friendly in an obvious way. I want to kill somebody.
For example...
It's like, no one fucking figured this out at some earlier point.
Like, at some point, why haven't they updated trains to have LED displays of what the station is?
It's crazy.
That's a very basic thing.
Right.
You still in LA, you still have to rely on understanding a PA voice, which half the time is unintelligible. And it's like,
or you look out the window and see what it says on the stop, which is always like, trying to bend down and look out the window.
Right.
Like, there's lots of very simple improvements that could be made. And if we're going to have the Olympics here and it's going to be a flood
North Hollywood,
of
North
people.
Hollywood. Anybody from North Hollywood, get enough.
Well,
no make stadiums.
It make it easier.
And I heard they're housing all of the athletes at UCLA, but most of the events are downtown. So it's going to be a fucking nightmare.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. Well, get your shit together, LA.
I know it's like, can they please invent a washing machine that I will give them more than one sock?
All right. Joe, thank you for your. Concern about the transportation system. Parting shots, Amber.
Yes, I'm going to plug another podcast as well. Exit Strategy with Jeff Wattenhofer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My boyfriend started a podcast, and it's good. I recommend
what is it.
I know I'm biased. He talks to different comedians about, in the least depressing way possible, what they would do if they had to step away from comedy. What else would they do with their life and be happy? And it's an interesting question because it's very insightful. You learn a lot about a person just with that one question.
Think adult bookstore.
So check it out, Exit Strategy. strategy, Jeff Wattenhofer. He's got a great speaking voice.
Okay, here's my parting shot, and I won't get too into it because I feel like I need to do more research. I know you're a dog person, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was at Starbucks this morning, and there were four dogs in the Starbucks, two of whom were just tussling around on the floor.
Ugh, tussling. Yeah.
And
slap them. There's definitely an assumption that you can go into a Starbucks
anywhere.
With your dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, hey, I'm not against dogs. I have nothing against dogs.
But you're allergic.
They make me physically sick. I can't breathe when I'm around dogs. So when people are showing up to Starbucks and just feeling like, the dog is adorable. I should be able to bring it. Everybody loves dogs. Fuck you. That's my parting shot.
So they don't have the red vest on, obviously.
No. They're not. And that's a whole other issue,
yeah,
which is the emotional support. No. The emotional support dog thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting abused a little bit.
Is fucking up the service dog thing. Like, emotional support dogs are different from service dogs.
Yeah, you just pet them to keep calm.
Service dogs are trained to perform tasks. And people spend upwards of $20,000 to have those dogs trained.
Mm-hmm.
And emotional support dogs are like, well, I feel weird when my dog is not around. And you can just get a fucking letter from so some shrink. It's true. It makes me upset when my dog is not around. So anytime I get on a fucking plane now, there's five dogs within 10 feet of me.
What would happen if you just asked one of those people, I don't think you can bring dogs in here. What do you think they would say?
I would be the fucking asshole. I'm not saying I'm not going to do it, but they would be like, fuck you. Don't tell me to keep my dog outside. I mean, it's just such an LA thing that you should be able to go wherever you want
you
with your dog.
You can't keep him outside a plane.
He said Starbucks.
Oh.
But you could keep him outside a plane.
I meant those Starbucks stations on a plane.
I've never been on one of those planes.
Clearly.
But anyway, I just think it's fucked up. Like, I think it's... And, like I said, there's a whole other issue where it's fucking things up for actual service dogs, where people with service dogs are saying that their service dog gets distracted by people bringing their emotional support dogs around because those dogs are not trained to behave the way they're supposed to.
Right.
So people are getting fucked over by having those dogs
around.
Yeah,
all those support dogs, so they're just trained to go, mm-hmm.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You're the best.
He is mean to you.
So anyway, fuck those people. And you know, what you said is a good point, which is, what if I did say something to somebody? And I was close this morning. Because like I said, I was like,
just start sneezing? Like,
this is insane.
all over the dog.
Oh my God, is there a dog in here?
It was like a kennel. Like every, you know, and I was only there for less, you know, that Starbucks over on Highland. I've seen you there. It's like tiny. And I was only there
for
10 minutes.
I go there because I like dogs. Yeah.
Really, Sean has been watching you there.
I've seen you there.
Whatever. I ran into Besser there once. I would not ordinarily say, you know the Starbucks I'm talking about, except I know that he knows the Starbucks I'm talking about because I went there once and he was there.
Don't joke around on Sean's parting shot.
God.
Just sounded.
Damn it.
Just sounded
that
funny.
That sound might be bad on this part.
God damn it.
Oh, no.
I hope you do get rolled this afternoon, Joe.
Oh, my God.
All right, Jamie, parting shots.
Is rolled a
Closer.
Good thing?
All right. It's like it's fucking. I go to Starbucks. It's a fucking Iditarod in there now. You say it's really nice. It's like, are we preparing for ice?
Your race? Parting shot is just to make fun of my parting shot? Yeah. Go ahead. Keep going. Iditarod, what else? White Fang, Jack London
Jack
novels.
London.
Yep.
Snow Dogs.
Snow Dogs. Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings. Good one.
Do you not have a parting shot?
I was going to ask you.
What's up?
How long is your musical?
That's your parting shot?
He wants to help plug.
He didn't know Parting Shots was coming. We've only done it 350 times.
I know where I'm getting to.
It's coming out in three acts. It's 65 minutes all together.
Is it a live band? Like you recorded in a...
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you a musical?
Stolen. Go to stolenidea.net, and I've also collected aggregated some stories about stolen ideas.
You did another musical,
Freak Dance.
Freak Dance, which is available on
yeah, you can get that on iTunes probably.
On iTunes.
It's available on Stitcher Video.
So this is the second musical-related project you're doing. Do you like... I don't know this about you. Do you like musicals? I don't know this about you.
Are you doing this against your will? Just blink twice if you're being forced to make musicals.
Is there a gun to your head? No, I mean, like...
I love making musicals. Now you know it, my friend.
I've ever heard you mention if you do, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, I love musicals.
You go? Have you? Do you go? Because I know a lot of.
I'm not like a Broadway like I gotta go once a year kind of guy.
Right. What was the last
one Benson.
You saw? Like Jimmy Pardo, he's seen Hamilton like four times now or something.
I saw Fun Home. Have you guys heard of that one?
I've watched a lot of clips.
I've heard of it. Really I don't good. Know anything
was
about it.
Good?
It's about an overbearing father who like has to like. The exam. She's an artist, so it's like when she's doing art as a kid, he's like, "No, you got to do it this way." And
right.
And now every time I do that to Sydney, you know, I'm fucking fun homie.
You start singing every time you do that.
That's a good one, though. I highly recommend it.
Cool. All right, thank
Matt.
You.
But I recommend mine more. Yes. Fun home.
Stitcher right. Premium.
Stitcher Premium.
Stolenidea.net.
Stolenidea. Idea.net.
Matt.
Stitcher Premium.
In the last year and a half, have you distilled down any nuggets of wisdom that you could share with us? I don't know what you're saying under your breath.
But I was continuing to plug.
Oh, okay. Do you have a distilled down boba of knowledge that you could share with us?
That's the new.
That
you haven't been here since.
Yet.
Nugget of wisdom. Yeah.
Howdy, folks. This is Jamie Flam, and. My apologies for the abrupt ending to this episode, but I was put at the helm of recording the episode and, you know, I got the equipment. I had all of Andrew's microphones. I woke up early-ish on a Sunday to record it. So pat on my back for all that. But I didn't check to make sure that the little card, it's called a SD card. It might be called an SD card. We're going to go with an SD card. I didn't check to see how much room was on it because typically there's so many gigs of room on it that it's never been an issue. Thank God it wasn't until like 112 minutes into this thing that I looked down and it said a card full. And the sad part is that when a card is full, it means that you can't record any more audio onto it. So here's what you missed. Because we recorded we didn't record, but the podcast continued for a good 3 or 4 minutes before I noticed that we weren't recording. I got to my part of the parting shots. And if you listen to the show, you know that I typically ask our guests for a nugget of wisdom, a boba of knowledge, some sort of guiding principle that has helped them in their life. From what I can remember, this was 2 days ago that we recorded this. From what I remember, I asked Matt for a boba of wisdom. He was confused. He has been on the guest possibly more than any other guest. So he was familiar with what I was trying to get at. There was some back and forth. I believe Sean mentioned that the last episode, I said it more eloquently than I ever had, and now I took 5 steps backward. Those weren't his words at all, but that was the sentiment. You know, sometimes I got to play up this persona that I have on the podcast. And with Matt Besser, I, for whatever reason, I just like really drop into that like, I'm weird. Kind of like I say things funny and the words are different than they're supposed to be. Kind of that kind of thing. So anyway, there was some, you know, going around. People were laughing because, you know, like, what was I talking about? And Matt then was like, you know, I've done this podcast before and fucking, so why don't you just go back and listen to an old episode? Because I don't even, like, I'll probably repeat the same nugget. The implication being that he just only has so many nuggets or I don't know. And then Sean called me out because this was one of the episodes where I didn't really have a parting shot and I just went straight for the nugget instead of actually having my own. But you know, sometimes that's all you need. It's not because I don't have something inside that I want to talk about, but it was a long episode. There was things, people had stuff to do. And so I, you know, I just went straight for the jugular. And ultimately Matt said, you know, find a clip from another show and just put that in there. And while that was happening, I remember being like, oh, that'll be funny. I'll actually do that. Or I'll tell Andrew when he edits this together that he should do that. But it was a moot point because we didn't record any of it. And so that's my retelling of it. I think there was a few more jokes. I remember Joe said something really funny. Sean said something funny. Matt said something really funny. Amber said something really funny. And then we wrapped up the episode and that was that. So I want to give one more plug because I think Matt had one more plug for his new musical. It's a punk rock musical called Stolen Idea. I think it comes out today, September 27th, 2017 on Stitcher Premium. Again, it's a punk rock musical called Stolen Idea. You can also go to stolenidea.net for more information about it. I'm sure it's going to be great. There's so many great people involved in it. I had written down their names somewhere, but I can't find them. But, you know, it's Matt. It's fucking a bunch of really funny people doing funny stuff. So go get it. Support it. And with that, I will be back next week with a new episode, I think, maybe. That's the plan anyway. And thank you for listening. I love you all, and so does everyone else. And Trey Blankets, Pasta Primavera, and Chowderfest, 1988 to 1995, the golden age of chowder. Bye.
Hello, I'm Alexander Graham Bell. I stole the idea for the telephone. Hey, people steal ideas all the time, everywhere, even in the worlds of music and comedy. Stolen Idea is a punk rock musical set in these two worlds where theft can make or break a career. They're written by Matt Besser and Bobby Matthews. Produced by Brett Morris. Starring Matt Besser as Matt the Stand-Up.
My best bit has been taken from me, and now it's on TV, being done by a dickhead.
Bobby Matthews as Phil the Musician.
This is it, now or never, and I'm gonna give it my best shot.
Virginia Matthews as Sarah, his wife.
Suddenly tick-tock, the sound of my internal clock.
John Gimberling as the musician's agent.
Don't think of this as selling out. Look upon it as cashing in.
Mike Cassidy as the TV show booker.
Jokes aren't enough anymore. Your fans want to know what you're having for breakfast.
Paul Rust as young comic.
I don't want to hear it. All your envy. I don't want to hear it. All your jealousy. I don't want to hear it. All you do is lie.
Scott Aukerman as the comedy club manager.
When are you gonna grow up and get a real job? Selling pot is not the real job.
Harris Whittles as New York City cop.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say, get it with.
Mike Still as Rooster.
Need a ride on the back of my motorcycle? I'll take you anywhere, man. I don't have to be anywhere at any time, so, like, need to go across town, whatever.
Danielle Schneider as Diner Waitress.
Seat yourself, sweetheart. Oh, what happened to your eye?
James Adomian as music critic.
You know, Phil, I used to think you're a really good singer-songwriter. Really original.
NPR reporter.
Welcome to NPR's This Brilliant Life.
And Mr. Podcast.
Welcome to the What the Hell Podcast. First off, are we good?
Coming to Stitcher Premium September 27th. Go to StitcherPremium.com/stolen.